This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello, Place to Be Nation. This is the melancholy JT coming at you here tonight off an excruciating Yankees playoff loss. Joined, as always, though, by the man that makes my heart warm and my mouth smile. That's Aaron George. Aaron, how are you?
Woo! Go Tribe!
I
have no interest in baseball. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't, because you didn't support the team you had, and now they're gone, and you ruined it all.
I went to those games, all right?
You didn't go enough! It's never enough.
I know. The stadium was shit. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, well, you could have just built a new one. I mean, all right, that's what everyone else does. Just pour money in and build a new one. Are they ever going to get a team back? There's always rumors. I don't know if they're true.
It's because we have the mayor is like basically campaigning on this.
Yeah.
that's our.
Is it
going to
work?
Show.
Is it going to work? Okay.
No, he's our city is every second street is under construction. Like they decided to fix everything at the same time. So I think he's gone. Just from frustrated drivers.
Right. Okay. So he's not. So the new guy is not pushing for the Expos.
I think it's him against a female candidate, and I don't know if she's going to be pushing as hard for the Expos.
Probably not.
Yeah, that's some major sexism on my part because you know girls can like baseball too, but
I just meant probably not because it's stupid. But sure, yeah, if you want to be sexist, that's okay. So we're here to make the cut. I think right is that the other case cut right making the cut.
Yeah,
it's been a while. So we are back. This is all part of the PlaceToBeNation.com greatest WWE wrestler ever series. And what we're doing here, of course, is ranking the greatest 100 WWE wrestlers of all time.
Yes,
we finally set a deadline, December 31st, 2017. All ballots must be finalized and sent in via a system that's being finalized and created now, so we'll hopefully have that up soon if people want to, you know, those overachievers want to get their list in. I've actually had people ask me if they could send it, so some are done. Some, like us, are still doing our homework, and the series Aaron and I are going through is just kind of picking names at random and talking about them, and a lot of these guys we know are going to be on the list. Like, we've talked about a few that may be on the edge, but most of the people we've talked about are in. It's just kind of debating and jockeying positions as to where they might land. So that's what we're here to do tonight. We're kind of focused on the Attitude Era tonight, Aaron. We picked at least four of the five people are kind of tangentially related in some way. Like, they've either feuded or teamed or are fake related. So
had passionate affairs.
They're all taught the other one to talk. You know, they're all intertwined. Yes. And one is just an outlier in many ways, but we'll cover that as we move forward. So why don't we start the first one? And this is real. We're just going to jumpstart this. We're going to light the fire, some may say.
It's got to be this guy.
It's got to be him, the mayor of the GWWE project, and that is Kane. Yes, Kane. So we know there's a lot of I don't want to say even divisiveness, because I feel like you either – it's not like you like or hate Kane. You either hate or are just ambivalent. You know what I mean? Like, that's like liking Kane is just not caring about Kane. Because the people who have strong opinions on Kane despise him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And ambivalence is so much worse.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, for him, it's okay. It's, when you're around for 30 years or whatever the fuck he's been around for, you'll take ambivalence. And, you know, we get to expand this conversation a bit because we don't really do characters on this list. We do wrestlers. So we will be taking into account, I don't know if you have, but I guess we'll bring it up, Isaac Yankum and
yes.
Fake Diesel, right? Yep. So we'll factor that in too. Quick reminder, the system, we factor in four things. Now, look, you're not required to base your ranking on these things, but it's kind of just the things to keep in mind when you are ranking. That's nuance.
You're absolutely required to. that's the whole point.
I know, but you know, whatever. Like, you don't have to say out of 10. Yeah, whatever. Things to consider.
Have to consider everything that we're talking about.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying you don't have to like create. You don't have to weigh them all. You know what I'm saying? Like, just these are the things.
No, I understand that. I'm fired up because the Yankees lost.
I know, me too. Whatever. You know, like, I was okay yesterday when they lost. They got killed. I'm like, all right, they had a great year. They're just going to lose in three, and it's fine. They'll be back next year. And then they go up 8-3 tonight and get me excited. And it's my fault because Scott and I are supposed to record Monday and I'm moving it to Tuesday because of game four. I'm all, you know, and then right after that, they fucking tie the game. Whatever. You're derailing me. All right. So N for nuance. That's longevity, flexibility, and tangibles. J is jump up factor, memorable peak matches moment storylines. P for promo skills and character work. And W for the old work rate. Throw that all into a big stew and boil out the number for each guy if they're ranked. All right, Kane slash Isaac slash D's. So that's his first name. D's L. So nuance, longevity, clear. So this is an injury. Let's stop here already. So longevity is an interesting one, right? He's got it in spades. But yeah. Does he have the bad longevity, right? It's like on Curb Your Enthusiasm, the good Hodgkins, the bad Hodgkins. Does he have the good longevity or the bad longevity? Because, yes, he's been around forever, right? He's a WWF guy. He's well-known. He's had tons of matches, pay-per-view, TV, everything else. He's been around the block and more. But has that longevity hurt him? Is this a guy that would have made the list if he left in, like, 2003? You know, and he's a lock, maybe, for those first few years.
Yeah,
the last 15 damaged him. Yes.
Part of the problem too is he spent so much time as that guy that everyone was punished against.
Right.
You're gonna fight Kane
in a tag team match, player.
Yeah, no, definitely he's hurt by longevity. Let's not mince words here.
Yeah.
it singes him, if you will.
Yes. It takes his voice away. Give him his voice back. All right, it hurts him. So that's it. We don't even need to debate. It hurts him. He's been around way too long. He had way too many, as the great Will would say, dog shit matches that have just, you know, completely killed a majority of his. You know, if you were to list all these matches, like, he's had way more bad than good. Flexibility is interesting for him because I do think, when you look at it from, like, a tag singles, like, I think he's a good tag guy. Like, you know, the stuff with Daniel Bryan's really good. Team Hell No. Even with Taker, like, Taker was the one that usually weighed that team down. And Kane kind of felt like the kid who's, like, does well in school and means well, but he has that one shit friend from, like, growing up that drags him down when they hang out.
It's his big brother that he's tried to murder.
Right, you know? He's doing all right, and then he hooks up with Taker again and then just, like, drags him down. But he was the better part of those teams. And heel face, I feel like he's had his moments of both. Like, you know, he was a great monster heel in the beginning, and he was a pretty empathetic face in those early years, too, at times. I think he could do both.
Yeah, and his tag work, I mean, we mentioned a couple, but he's got a lot of teams.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, the team with Xbox is actually quite good.
Yes.
Like I recently rewatched all the 99 pay-per-views, and they're kind of a highlight of that year. Like, that's kind of faint praise.
Right. No, they are. And I remember at the time being really intense. I mean, that was a great story. Like, it was, in theory, it was a great turn when they did it because everyone was so into the team. I just don't think they anticipated that everyone would suddenly lose complete interest in X-Pac.
Yeah.
And just hate them and to be miserable, you know, when they probably should have just kept them together because they were really lovable as a team. It was the first time Kane was humanized and all that. So, yeah, no, he had a good run with X-Pac and that team.
Do you think they missed the boat by not putting him in fluorescent green?
Oh, yeah. There was always that rumor, right, that they had, like, a DX suit. There was, like, some model figure that was, like, a picture leaked, and he was in the DX outfit. And, like, it never came to be. But, yes, they should have at least done it once, I think, him come out in the green and black. That would have been pretty cool.
If he said suck it with the voice box, you need to go all in after that.
Right? I love the voice box. You can do it. Talk.
See, that's character growth. A lot of people don't have character growth.
He did have great character growth that whole year. The whole year was really in all the Tory stuff, and you know, it was well done. And then he gets hooked up with Undertaker and kind of cruises
destroys
into
the tag division.
Well, and then even in 2001, I mean, he comes, you know, he has the great Rumble. You know, he was really good in that. I guess we're kind of leaking into Jump Up, but I'd put that as one of his Jump Up factor matches, the 2001 Rumble. That was like he was like a legit coming out of that match. But again, then he gets mixed up with Taker into 2001, and they had that awful feud with Triple H and Austin, the power trip, and that kind of killed business.
See,
for a bit.
I found the Triple H Kane segments of that okay.
Sure.
Like, compared to the Austin Undertaker ones that felt like death.
Probably because they were half the time. The world title was the IC, though. You know, Austin and Taker were getting like 28 minutes versus Kane and Triple H were getting like
12.
15. Yeah, right. So yeah. Anyway, yeah, I'd put that as one of his jump up. The match with Benoit again, probably one of his jump up stuff at 04 on the Bad Blood for the title, and you know his matches with Albert in 01. Those couple of TV matches that have kind of grown in legend, but are both, you know, pretty good. And you can argue, I think Kane probably held his hand through a lot of those, or through both of those.
I can't get on board with anything supporting Albert. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm supporting Kane.
Fine. I can get on that. Oh, Albert, we're not talking about him ever, please.
All right. Tell me about your thoughts on all right. So, all right. Go back to intangibles really quick.
We're just all over the place.
Yeah, right? I don't know. Well, there's so much shit with Kane. There's so much fucking crap to wade through. I'm lost.
We're up to our neck in shit.
Intangibles. Great facial and storytelling with the mask. Like, what? He could cock his head. I'm serious. He could cock his head with that mask on. You kind of got the... You know what I mean? Like, I thought he had really good... When he had the full mask, like, I thought he was pretty good at emoting through that mask.
Yes, I would agree, but the limit, he always looked like a sad dog. Like the way a dog.
That was his life. Look at him. He's chained with his father, you know, who may or may not have raped his mother and then burnt the house down. You know, he's fucking.
Yeah, but he got better. He got healed. His face Someone is healed burned. His skin.
Yeah, his mental scars. Paul Bearer, you know, told him they were real and he believed it. So this poor guy. Just living in misery, and he may or may not have killed his girlfriend and then had sex with her. this guy's been through a lot of shit, man. Of course he's a sad puppy dog. Anyway, especially during the Xbox thing, I thought he emoted pretty well with the mask. I thought he did okay with that. And he was good at being sympathetic for being a monster. Like, when they tied him up in the straitjacket and all that, like, you actually felt bad for him at that point, you know, when Xbox breaks him free. And, like, I thought he was, for a big monster that burns people, he was pretty sympathetic at times.
Yeah, and I wonder how much of, like, some of his sympathy later on went to how much of an asshole X-Pac was. Like, what a colossal piece of shit to humanize this guy then steal his girlfriend.
Right. I like to think it was all long con just to get Tori. Like, he never, like, Mr. Steal Your Girl. All right. So if we move along, now
intangibles, just one, like, yeah. He's funny. Like, he is funny.
Oh, yeah. Funny guy. Good comedic timing.
Yeah, like we're listing his horrible things, but that segment with Dr. Shelby was because of him it worked. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think his intangibles is one of his highest things. Like, I think for all intents and purposes, like, he has good rapport and connection with the live crowds a lot of the time. You know what I mean? Like, sure. Yeah, I don't think that hurts him. Like, I think overexposure and boredom and him just being around forever and his matches, I mean, like, I think that's what killed him. But I mean, he still kind of gets pops, you know, like when he comes out in the fire and like all that stuff is a big part of his, you know, package. And I think that adds up. I think he has pretty good intangibles. And you know what? He aped Diesel pretty good too. So I'll give him that.
He needed a good long-term injury to put him out for a while.
Yeah. He needed like the Shawn Michaels 4 years.
He needed to lose his tilted dog head smile. Yes.
All right. So jump up. Now we can kind of talk about all the storylines and moments and all this shit, right? Because he might have the most jump down moments where you just want to fall off the fucking chair that you're jumping up onto. Because he's got the 01 Rumble. Like I said, he's got the Benoit match. You know, he's got the stuff with X-Pac where he first says suck it. Even the winning the title at King of the Ring 98, I thought it was a really cool moment. The match at WrestleMania 14 with Undertaker, cool moment. I thought a great moment before Rumble 98 when they bow down and kind of, you know, like, both get on the knee and Kane kind of teases the face turn. Like, I thought that was really cool. So, you know, there's a lot in those early years for jump up for him. In the late years, I don't know, any kind of jump to mind for you?
Well, I mean, like, just kind of in that time frame too, I thought he was good as part of the WWF teams during the invasion. I know the invasion kind of gets shit on, but he's good in those two matches against the WCW teams. I would also say later on, he's really quite good in the first Money in the Bank ladder match. Like, he's kind of the base for that whole thing. And that match is legitimately a great match, and he's not a slouch in it. So I think that works quite in his favor.
And even just going back from there quick in 02, when you know, he's kind of positioned as a top guy. Then he did get hurt at that point when maybe tore his bicep. But he comes back and he's part of the, you know, stuff with Hurricane and Limitelle, like right up until Katie Vick, like he was pretty hot. You know what I mean? Like he wins that TLC match by himself. Like that's a really good match, and it's a lot of it's on him. I thought that was a good jump up. And one we're forgetting from 2000 when he comes back with Paul Bearer during the 10-man in Dallas. Yeah. Like that was a great match, the moment too. Paul Bearer's got the red jacket and everything. Like that may be the loudest pop he's ever gotten.
Yeah, and you mentioned the King of the Ring match with Austin, where he won the title. And one thing I always thought was really interesting with that is leaving that show, that's what we were talking about, me and my friends.
Right, yep, not the cell.
Considering what had happened beforehand.
Right. Yeah, no, for sure. And then even his matches with Angle, like WrestleMania 18 is solid, but then they had a really good one on TV as well in 02. So I don't know, when is it? When does he go off the cliff a bit? Is it when he loses the mask and whatever in 03 when he goes back heel? And
I don't want to blame everything on Triple H, but
right. True.
It seems right around that time.
Yeah, no, it is. And then like the RVD, I mean the moment that's a jump up moment for him though, when he pulls off the mask and was it an MSG or somewhere? Where he takes the mask off and when after he loses to Triple H on Raw, like that's a cool moment. But then the RVD feud isn't, you know, just not good. And then, I don't know. What's your take on the Shane stuff? Are you a fan or no?
No, absolutely not.
Right, yeah.
And I'm not a fan of most Shane stuff, but that's the one with the car battery, right? And the testicles?
Yes. I mean, there's some decent stuff in there too, right? He's got the, not decent, but I should say other, beyond the car batteries. You got the limo. Remember they crashed the fiery limo and all that stuff. Yeah. And like, there's just a lot of like murder shit in there.
He tombstones Linda. That was pretty good.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And then like Bischoff made out with her. Yeah. That, I mean, there's so much. I mean, they were just like going completely like murder mystery. We don't give a fuck soap opera during that time. They're just like, whatever. We're just going to have these guys murder each other and show up the next week and not care. And then into 04, Taker comes back. Like WrestleMania 20 is kind of a down moment for him. But then again, then he has a little thing with Benoit. Like that's a good match. And then, like you said, Money in the Bank, the first one. I think his team with Big Show was actually pretty solid. Like that's another kind of just shows versatility, like the big man dominant team that just destroyed the tag division. Like I thought they were, you know, just rewatching a lot of that with me and Scott a couple years ago. Like I thought they were much better than they get credit for as a unit.
Yeah, they're fine. Like they just had no one to work with. Like weren't they fighting like Kate and Murdoch and like those kind of teams?
Yeah, and Carlito. The match with Carlito Masters at WrestleMania is always kind of one I enjoyed. But it's a lot of Kate and Murdoch and teams like that. And then I don't know. He gets kind of just in the mix in places. I think he goes to SmackDown at some point. I know he fights Khali at WrestleMania 23. That's kind of
a mess.
He fights
Khali a bunch of times, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. But that's the biggest one is WrestleMania. He puts Khali over. And then
kills Chavo.
Yes, that's great.
Yeah, that is great.
You jump up. Yeah, big time. And then he goes over to SmackDown again, or maybe he was already, I don't know, wherever. But he has the thing with Edge, right, where Edge kidnaps Paul Bearer and all that stuff, where Kane, I think, was the heel. I don't know. That's one of the most confusing feuds of all time for me.
We skipped over though. What about all the times when he was marrying Lita?
Oh right, yes.
Got to talk about that.
Snitsky, but that was all Snitsky. He was carrying that. He was great during that stuff.
Yeah, the song they played when he came down, when they played his theme like to the harp or whatever that was.
Oh, the wedding's great. I think the wedding and the Edge and Lita one where he comes out of the fucking ring. Jesus Christ!
Jesus Christ.
I think we're talking Kane onto our list, buddy. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, no, he's...
but, I mean, that's a great... He's got a lot of moments. He's got a lot of moments. both weddings. Both weddings.
Yeah.
The raping Lita.
Is he the best wrestling wedding guy of all time?
Yeah, I mean, Trish may take that just for that lingerie she had at one time, but yes, he's up there. Kane is certainly up there. He's tremendous. Lita, the whole Lita feud is so weird. Like, Scott and I mean, that's one we really dove into when we talked about 05 and 06, or 04 and 05. I mean, because he's a heel, he basically steals Matt Hardy's girl, ostensibly rapes her and impregnates her, and then somehow is the face in the whole thing when... Like Edge
gets on board, right?
Right? It's like so weird. He's like all of a sudden he's like protective. The whole thing is so odd. And then Lita turns on him. We're supposed to like, and Kane is like sympathetic. The whole thing is so weird. Like it's really presented weirdly. It's no one is likable in that whole thing. Like Matt Hardy, this looks like a cuckolded pussy. Lita is a slut who put herself on the line in a match that her boyfriend had a chance to win. And then Kane is just basically raped her, and now we're supposed to like him. And Edge, you know, kind of in storyline, really, the one guy who didn't do anything is the guy we have to hate.
Kane at least cared about the baby.
He did care about the baby. He did. His demon spawn. He wanted the demon spawn to be okay. And I mean, another jump up moment for him, and I don't know if it even is really for him or for Snitsky, who I don't know if it's even nominated Snitsky, but when he flips him over on the stretcher at Taboo Tuesday. I love that. I love that post-match attack. Snitsky was awesome during that feud. And even their match actually isn't that bad either at Taboo Tuesday.
The lead pipe match?
I'm really becoming a Kane enthusiast, sadly. but yeah, so fuck, I feel like we've talked about so much and we've only done like the first half of his career.
I know. Well, he's been there 100 years.
Right. So to me, everything like post of that Edge feud is just a big jumbled cluster other than Team Hell No. Like,
how do you feel about his title run, the SmackDown title run?
I don't remember it. So not great.
Yeah.
Like, I know he had the feud with Edge. Does he win the title at the end of that thing or does he lose it? Is that what his title run is?
See, he wins it from Rey Mysterio. He cashes in Money in the Bank.
Oh, right. Yes. Yep.
And then he fights The Undertaker in a dreadful series of matches.
Oh, the vegetative state. Yep, okay.
Yep, that's right.
And that was like their attempt to make Kane like a badass. Like, he basically destroys Undertaker.
Right, right. And then he beats Randy Orton for some reason at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I actually remember not minding that match, but yep.
It was just a weird finish.
Yeah.
Like, for them.
But actually, before that match, when's the feud with Cena?
It's before.
Yeah, Zack Ryder and I mean, that might be bottom, like, along with Katie Vick, which is actually more Triple H than him. But that's, I mean, that's probably maybe his bottom of his career, is that shit. Like, that's, he's got the welder's mask and all that stuff. And
yeah.
Zack Ryder's in the wheelchair. Fucking awful.
And Zack Ryder's getting cuckolded by Cena, the face.
It was awful. The whole thing was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Then he fights Orton. That's an okay match. And then he gets into Hell No, pretty much, right? Like, mid of 12. And that's great. Team Hell No is all really good stuff, I thought.
Yeah, and I mean, they got the Shield six-man tags, and there's a lot of good stuff there.
Right. Even the match of Mania with Dolph and Big E is pretty fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he's got some good stuff in there. And then we get the corporate Kane, which
terrible.
I thought like, at first, it's kind of funny, you know, like, where he's got the pants on, he's the corporate guy. Like, I don't know, I didn't mind it at first, and then I thought they didn't go enough with it, where he would be, like, different scene to scene. They kind of did it, right, at one point, but it was kind of too little too late, where, like, one minute he'd be Demon Kane, the next he'd be corporate Kane, and he'd change his demeanor. Like, they kind of did it, right?
Yeah, but not well.
Yeah, yeah. And this is, like, years of that, right?
And it kind of culminated with that 2015 Royal Rumble.
Right. Oh, yes. Yeah. Where they used him as a tool of shitting on all the fans. Where they just throw out everyone. No. That was it 14 or 15? Where him and Big
15.
Show just threw everyone out.
15. Everybody right. good. Everybody that anybody right. wanted to win.
Right. The two of them just threw out. It's awful. And you know what? We didn't talk about too early on. His bad stuff with Big Show. Like the King of the Ring 99. Fully loaded, not like awful, and then him and Big Show just been, other than when they were team in 06, like nothing else they ever did was that great.
Yeah.
Oh, May 19th, that was awful with the fake Kane. We forgot about that in 06.
So much shit.
And then I mean, he's really just been not much the last few years. I mean, he's just kind of been there.
No, and you know what? If he came out one time, it'd be right. fine now.
Yeah.
You know, like we'd probably be happy to see him, but two times we'd be done.
All right. All right, so, and we probably spent way more time on Kane considering where he'll probably land, but What do you? I mean, promo skills. I think he's fine, right?
It's
he can talk. Like you said, he's funny. He's got his moments. Character work. I think he's good. Like I think he's good in the role of Kane. You know, like he gets the character. He's developed the character. He's made him comedic. He's made him a monster. He's made him sympathetic. You know, like he's done it all with the character. Like I think he's proven that he can play various characters within Kane. Work rate, passable. What do you think?
I think he's actually okay. Yeah. Like I don't think his work rate translates to good matches.
Mm.
But I mean, like the things he does look not now, but in his prime, the things he did look fine. That that top rope clothesline was always cool.
Yeah.
Like his stuff looked good. He never looked faking it. Like he looked stiff. You know, like I didn't have an issue with his work. It's just like it just didn't work. It just didn't translate well.
And you know, he was a safe worker that looked good, right? So he didn't look light, he didn't look soft, but he was you know, he never really hurt anyone that you've heard of, you know, like he's always pretty well regarded as like he's one of those guys that like other wrestlers think is great, you know what I mean, because he just knows how to work.
Right.
But like you said, yes, it didn't always translate to great matches. Could be carried a guy like an Angle or whoever, and you know, he had okay match with Shawn. He has a surprisingly decent match with Batista during Batista's early days. That like one of the December pay-per-views, I think, wasn't bad, where he kind of carried it. Overall, nuts to bolts. Does he? I don't know if that's a saying, but does he make your list?
It is a saying now. Right. He's on the bubble.
Yeah.
Like I mean, I still have a bunch of guys to look up, but like I have him somewhere around 90, 91. Like, and so like he might get pushed off, but I don't know. Like, it's funny because the longer we do this list, the more I scrutinize and the more I doubt everything I've thought about everything. So like it seems like a guy who has this many memorable moments, like good or bad, probably should have some sort of place on the list. Like there's a lot of guys that have a lot of shitty moments.
So is he like a poor man's Triple H?
Yeah.
Like his highs aren't as high. And maybe his lows are just as low, maybe not as low. But like Triple H is like the evolved version of Kane, where he'll be up the list more, whereas Kane will be way toward the bottom or not on it. But to me, they're very similar trajectories, like when you look at their career.
Yeah, like I think just Triple H just has more. I mean, it's obvious. He just has so much more meat to his matches and stuff like that.
Right.
But that being said, he was also put in – I guess he was put in there with Khali, and that also sucked. But, he wasn't put in with Khali repeatedly kind of thing. Like he was fighting the Benoits, the Angles, the stuff like that.
Right.
And he had a the way he worked meshed better with those guys than with the way Kane worked.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. What about you? What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm like you. It's probably going to depend on other people. I feel like on a list of the 100 best WWE worker, like he should probably be on there just because he's been so long. He has had a lot of good stuff, but he's just had so much bad. Yeah, I think he's just middle of the – I feel like he's middle rating on everything. Except for, like, his moments and matches get dragged down because of how much bad there was. Like, to me, that doesn't even out. Although, I don't know. We have listed a lot of good ones. I don't know. I feel like we glossed over all the bad ones because there's so many of them.
Yeah. Like, here's a guy. I got one guy running step ahead of him. It's Tajiri. And Tajiri's
Will just had
a guy,
fucking heart attack, by the way.
I know. He's so angry. I'm sorry. Well, he's going to get angrier as we go on. But Tajiri's a guy who, like, is legitimately, clearly one of – I mean, he's fantastic, right? He's an amazing worker. He's this, he's that. But does he have a better WWF career than Kane? Like when you really measure it all, does his limited amount of stuff match up to Kane's catalog? Because his highs are not much higher than Kane's. I don't even think they are higher.
Right.
Like, I mean, where would you agree with that? Would you disagree with that? Like,
well, I didn't prepare homework on Tajiri, so no. But yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying to think of the. I'm trying to think of Tajiri's high. I mean, I guess when he takes off the shirt, right, in the invasion, that's probably his peak moment. Would you agree?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I guess.
So, yeah, I mean, he had. Yeah, I don't know. Like, what's Kane's best match? And under your under your color, we don't count like Money in the Bank and shit because, you know, what's his best like singles match?
Singles?
Angle?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. I don't know if it's a Jerry's off the top of my head, but I think it's probably maybe better than that. But Kane probably has a lot at that tier, you know?
Yeah. And I think like when I start thinking about this list, like I have some guys higher that I know I have to look at again because I have them rated higher because, oh yeah, they got a bunch of good matches. Right? But like I don't know, is a bunch of good matches equal to like unforgettable moments? Like Kane's debut is unforgettable. Like he tears down that wall, Vince right. screaming. Like,
yeah, no, it is.
It's perfect, you know?
Well, that's why I said if he had left in just like 03 or 04 even, like I think he's a lock, right, for the list.
But it's funny because I find talking to people, a lot of people tend to just discount the bad stuff with guys that kind of suits them, that suits them.
No, yeah, you're not wrong.
Like it's
I think
like,
Kane gets so much of it, though.
Yeah, I agree. But I also think a guy like Undertaker has so much of it.
But it's he's got his highs are way higher.
Yeah, which is why we're not talking about him at, like, say, like 90. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like that's the thing is that, like, I wonder if Kane's good stuff is good enough that when it's meshed with his moments to just sneak him on. Because the consensus I've heard seems to be like, oh, he's garbage. He doesn't belong on the list. And right. I just don't know if that's true.
I think it depends how willing you are to not care about sample size.
Right.
Like, are you someone, and I've named drops your stuff, but really, because I've heard him talk about this, like, for 15 hours. But Will, you know, he keeps harping on the fact that he doesn't, like, he keeps bringing up, like, a Buddy Rose. Like, he had one great feud, and that's enough for him. Like, so, is, yeah. if you're somebody that is perfectly fine just saying, I don't care if a guy was around for 6 months, like a Pete Dunne, you know, like a guy, like, who's right. barely been around, but whenever he's been on, it's been, like, fantastic. So is that, you know, is that enough? Like if you're at that point, yeah, I don't think Kane makes your list because there's a ton of guys that probably had quick runs that were really good and don't have the depth, but you don't care because you're not factoring that in.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, but then does that just mean that like any guy who's had a 4-star match makes the list? Like where does that become? Where does it end?
Well, no, I think it depends on the feud involved and everything of the story involved. You know what I mean? Like if it's a multi-match series and they're all great and they, you know, whatever. Like I think if he just comes in and has a 4-star match, no, I don't think so. Like Floyd Mayweather is not making the list, you know?
No.
Like, so, yeah. But I mean, you know, whatever. Like someone may consider him for the list because, well, you know, or LT. I think Lawrence Taylor was nominated.
it's preposterous.
Right, but he's the guy you're talking about, right? Came in, had a 4-star match.
Oh, I wasn't even feud. Like I wasn't even thinking of anyone specific.
No, I know, but he fills the description of what you said. So, all right, we've spent way too much time in the Kane bracket, but
yeah, let's get out of here.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where he's going to
fall. He might make our list.
Maybe. Like, he may or may not. Yeah. If I had a guess right now, I'm thinking maybe like bottom 10. Only because I feel like he's so – I do weigh in the fact of guys that are just – I mean, this is a WWF list. Like, I'm really working hard to block out my knowledge of guys elsewhere. Like, yes, I know Tajiri was fucking awesome in ECW and around the world, you know, wherever. But, you know, we just have to look just here. And to me, Kane – he is just a WDF guy, WDE guy, and he has enough jump up moments that stick out for me to at least warrant serious consideration to be in that bottom set. When I think of the big ones.
Yeah, that's where he'd land for me too. I think we're in the same mindset here.
And I don't think he's bad enough in the other stuff. Like, I think he's flexible. He has intangibles. I think his promo's solid. His character work is good. His work rate's solid. Like, it's like he's a dog shit terrible worker. You know what I mean? Like, he's just fine.
No.
Like, he's just fine.
Yeah. And again, if you're willing to forgive wrestlers who are booked poorly when right. they're your favorite guys, I think it should extend to guys who aren't your favorites too.
Right. Yeah.
Because again, like Katie Vick is not really his fault.
No. And he wasn't even the worst. Triple H was worse than that stuff. Like,
yeah.
You know, it wasn't really Kane per se. It was Triple H is the one in the casket fucking the you know body,
fucking her brains out.
Right. You know, it wasn't Kane. You know, he did that before he showed up on TV.
Oh.
And Yankum and Diesel, to me, that's, you know, doesn't add or detract. It's just kind of there. All right, let's move on to our next guy. We kind of talked about him. We hinted at him in our last discussion with Kane, and that is his tag partner in 1999, X-Pac. Of course, also 123 Kid in previous times. an interesting guy to me because he's a guy like a Marty Jannetty that started this whole series between me and you, Aaron, that I look at him, I think of him, and I'm like, yes, of course he's on this list. He's great. Was great for a lot of his time. Nuance, longevity, I think he has it, right? It was 1, 2, 3 Kid for like 3 years and then Xbox for another, whatever, 3 years, and he's popped up here and there. Flexible, I thought he was great as the underdog face as the kid. I thought he was really good as the, you know, in his initial go around as the asshole heel before he kind of got played out. Intangibles, you know, hit or miss. What do you think?
I think quite good in intangibles. Like, I will say this, like, I've been rewatching years of pay-per-view and I've done 99, 2001 and 2000. I'm on 2000 now. And he's always a highlight.
Yeah.
Now, I think his stuff is much more rewatchable than a lot of other guys from that era.
Well, and a lot of people at the time, even, they weren't into it because everyone was just tired of him for whatever reason. I don't know when he went off the cliff and I don't know why it happened. Like, it just does. But yes, going back and rewatching it in the vacuum of not having that angst of the time is helpful for him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's quite good. And he's very good at both heel and face roles for different reasons. Like, he's completely believable as an underdog babyface, but he's also completely despicable as a douchebag heel.
Yeah. No, I agree. And even when he sells out, you know, even when he sells out in, to DiBiase, like, pretty good heel stuff there. I never care for, like, the crybaby shit, but, no. You know, I liked his the nuance with his team with Razor Ramon, like, in the late 95 when he's just – basically, Razor, look, this means a lot to me, and, you know, basically, you're diverting your attention to the IC title, you don't care, fuck you, you're supposed to be doing it, we're friends, you're supposed to be helping, you know, like that, and that bitterness turns them heel with DiBiase, and that, I like the book-ended story where Kid debuted by, you know, beating Ramon, they become friends, and then enemies again, you know, like, it's a nice kind of three-year arc between the two of them, doesn't always get talked about.
Yeah, and it's not something they do anymore.
Now, do you feel, even though I feel it's completely misguided, and I am big on the X-Pac heat term is bullshit, but there has to be some reason in 2001 that he was booed and hated so much. I do think that has to ding his intangibles a bit. Like, why could he no longer connect? What was it? I mean, I don't think it was his booking. I don't think it, you know, you hear sometimes some, well, Benoit and these guys were there, and everyone was, but he was hanging with those guys. Like, he was having great matches with them. Yeah. It's not like he was dragging them down and people were tired of seeing him in there, like a Val Venus or something, you know, like guys that were clearly a step behind. He was on their par, I thought. So I do think that dings just a little bit that he wasn't able to connect at that point.
I think I don't know rewatching it. Like, 'cause I think looking back now, like it seems like he didn't, people got tired of him because he didn't evolve.
Right.
Everyone else kind of evolved.
Yeah.
Like every, I mean, except for like Austin and Rock,
but I mean, that's kind of on him, right?
Yeah, no, that is on him. But that being said, watching it back, like it really fits in that era now. Like, he's so obnoxious, and like he is the obnoxious guy that isn't moving on, who is still winning. Like, so, like I'm torn as to like how legitimate that heat was. Like, I was like 20 booing him, right? I was 20 saying I was hating him, but there was something I was missing. Like, maybe I wasn't understanding what they were going for with the character.
Well, yeah, I mean, we just wanted Benoit to never lose, and those guys today, like, he was in there, right, and he was still kind of winning, and like, or he, like, you know, he would beat Tajiri, and everyone wanted Tajiri. So I think it was just that, but I don't think we're still seeing how good he was. And, you know, I remember asking Kevin Kelly about the, you know, I remember asking about like the story of, this might have been like a Scott Key thing, but where X-Pac would lose on pay-per-view but win on Raw because more people were watching. Like, remember that? That was a thing, you know? So I don't know if that was, I don't know if that was in a lot of people's minds too at that point. Like, just shit like that, like weighing him down, I guess what I'm trying to say.
Right. And then you got the association with the Click where people assumed he was getting preferential treatment. And
right.
But then again, is that his fault as a performer though?
No.
Yeah, like I don't know. Like, he's a guy who on rewatch, like I said, I've completely kind of turned around on. Like, I get excited when I see him come out now, as opposed to say like Albert and Lance Storm or whoever else was there.
Right.
Like, yeah, like I dig him a lot more now. But that being said, like, even during that time, he was legitimately one of the hottest characters of the Attitude Era.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, you could say he sparked it. I mean, really, like, I know Austin's really sparked it and McMahon, yeah. But X-Pac was the first, you know, Jarrett was kind of the guy that started it in the late 97, but X-Pac was kind of the guy that really, you know, he showed up and shit-talked WCW and showed, like, that was, like, the big, all right, like, now we're fucking talking. You know what I mean? Like, that moment, and I guess let's transition to his matches and moments. He's got a few big ones, right? So that one where he shows up on Raw, then after WrestleMania is a great moment. You know, like Bischoff kissed my ass, like all that stuff. And then obviously May 93 when he shows up and beats Razor Ramon, and even the next one where he steals the money and runs away. Mm-hmm. Any other ones stick out to you for him?
Oh, well, I mean, look, he's got his tag team run with Jannetty, which I think is great. A nice little underdog tag team.
Yeah, and I think that's a big jump up moment too when they win the belts on Raw.
Yeah, I really like him at Survivor Series 93.
Yep.
When they survive. I even like the team with Holly. I like the Hakushi match at SummerSlam 95, which I like quite a bit. I quite dig. I thought he had a really good television feud with D'Lo Brown over the European title.
Yeah, yep.
Like they kept trading it, and I think it really helped legitimize D'Lo Brown and the title to
a
degree.
Yes, I agree. Because don't forget, D'Lo beat Triple H for that title. So that kind of started legitimization, and then him and X-Pac go back and forth for a while with it. No, I agree with you. That was probably the best state the European title was ever in was during that feud. And maybe when like Regal had it later. But
yeah, and I know earlier I kind of shat on Shane McMahon, but I quite like his match at WrestleMania with Shane McMahon.
Yes, yep.
And no one was expecting that out of Shane, and you got to give a lot of credit to X-Pac for that because.
And even the tag at Valentine's Day Massacre, how did that hold up for you when you watched 99? Him and Triple H against China and Kane.
I did not enjoy it.
Okay.
But I actually don't put any of that on him.
Like, how about him and Triple H at Backlash?
Again, it's okay.
Yeah.
But it's the problem is that he's – it's the problem I have with most Triple H matches is that everyone has to wrestle a Triple H match.
Right.
As opposed to if he would like wrestle more of an X-Pac style match, I bet that match would be really good. Jumped over the Owen Hart match, King of the Ring 94.
Yes, great match. And then he has another – I mean the Bret match on Raw, obviously.
Oh, too. That's great, yeah.
The Owen match on Raw is really good too. That's in August of 94. King of the Ring 99, I think he's one of the lone bright spots. You know, yep. He sells the neck throughout that whole tournament and then falls at the end, another good underdog moment. And then all the stuff with Kane, him as a team, humanizing Kane. And then even turning on him, you know, the X-Pac and Tori Christmas story, like, you know, that was all pretty good.
He was great as that character.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I think, you know, he's got a lot of moments of matches. I think, you know, we named a bunch there.
And when I look back too, like, just the last note I have on him, like with matches is that like, there's very little bad matches.
Right. Like, yes, very true.
He's got some matches that are disappointing, like the one with Triple H and stuff like that for me, but nothing's bad.
No, and other good ones too. The ones with Jericho. Yeah. When Jericho first showed up and he stepped in, I think it was Shamrock. He replaced Shamrock. And they fought again the next year in a cage, I think. That was really good. And
just watched that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one, right? Was that 2000? Yeah. Unforgiven?
Yeah,
2000?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, 2000, Unforgiven.
And then also the four-way that he's in. Is it No Way Out of One?
Yes.
For the IC title.
With Guerrero and
or European, one of the
one. Yeah. I forget who the other one is.
Yeah, Tajiri? No. No, it wasn't Tajiri. No. Yeah, it was really good, though. You're right. It was really good. And he played a good role in that. He was really good in that one.
Yeah. I mean, like, he gets hurt a bit by the X-Factor stuff, but even that, he's just so obnoxious.
Right.
Like, it works.
And he's not on a ton. I mean, he's fading by that point. And then I didn't even mind him, too, in 02. He's there briefly with the NWO when he steals Kane's mask and he's walking around with it like that. Like, that wasn't bad. He's a guy that actually has more, like, long-running feuds and angles than you'd remember. Like the stuff with... You know, the stuff with Ramon that lasted 3 years. The stuff with Kane really lasts a while, like, and it lingers, like I said, there into 02,
right.
Where they still kind of hate each other. So I thought he had a couple of those, you know, the stuff with Triple H. And then even one of my guilty pleasure, I think we talked about it on the Jannetty Pod Blast, his little mini feud with Johnny Polo and the Quebecers with Jannetty. Yeah. Like, that was really good stuff. I mean, he's on my list for sure. Promo skills, you know, the first half of his career, very weak. Although I guess you could argue he was playing the role well, like the timid little man. As X-Pac, I thought they got better You know, there were times maybe where he just relied too much on the catchphrase, but I think he worked himself up into an above average promo by the Attitude Era.
How did you feel about the blackface of Mark Henry?
Hey, hey, hey! I think he had the best individual line in that part. The, how do my abs, how do my pecs go all the way around to my back? character work.
I don't know. I think it's quite good. Like,
I was gonna say, did he have a character though? I feel like he was just himself as a kid, and then himself as a whiny bitch, and then himself as a D-bag. Like that was kind of.
But he brought it into his matches.
No, he did.
Like if you watch the way he, like even the way he would prance around until before he did that goddamn Bronco Buster. Like,
yes, yeah.
No, I thought he did okay with that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the prance.
Yeah.
I mean, he was super over the suck it. Work rate, I think he's excellent. I mean, you could argue maybe in like 93, 94, he's top, what, three maybe with the Hearts as a worker in the promotion.
Yeah. And he's the first little guy they ever really pushed to that level.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it was organic. They didn't rush it. Like, he didn't just beat Ramon and become a star. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to kind of work his way up. You know, he's not immediately just like a great wrestler that wins everything. I thought they organically built him into a guy who could hang and compete. Like, even through that 93 with a whole part of that feud with the Quebecers in Polo is that he's just a chump. You know, and then they shock him with the belts and he becomes more and more legit. And actually, if you watch that year from May 93 to May 94, like, they build so well to the match with Brett where, you know, he's a guy, oh, he's gaining some confidence again. And that's part of the story. Like, Kid even, like, they do the face-to-face a week before, and Kid is kind of like, oh, you know, if I can just be in the match, you know, like, that's enough for me, kind of. And King is like, no, you got to beat Brett, you know, and Kid is very deferential to Brett. And then he almost goes in there and beats him. Like, it's like a great evolution of this guy that all of a sudden finds himself on par with the world champion.
Yeah, and I think, too, when you look at his whole career also, like, he really is a guy that we kind of watched grow up.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Which is really cool. Like, he did change. Like, if you took a snapshot of him from his debut to a snapshot of the night after WrestleMania 14, that's right. A completely different human being.
Yeah.
Like, and it came across in his performance as well.
And he's also got the Action Zone tag to his credit.
Oh, with Ramon and against Diesel and Michaels, huh?
Yep, he's in there, so that counts.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, no, I fully expect X-Pac to be in my list probably in the 50s to 60s is my guess.
That's where I have him. I actually have him kind of lumped in around Scott Hall, Kevin Nash. They're all kind of in that cluster.
I expect Hall to probably be a little higher because I don't think – as great as X-Pac is, he doesn't have those ladder matches, you know? Like,
yeah.
Ramon's big matches. Like, that's the one thing Kid is really lacking to get him up the list is he doesn't have those huge moments, those big-time moments. Like, he's got a lot of fun matches and, you know, four-ish star matches. This is probably his peak. But he doesn't have like that seminal big time 4.5 star WrestleMania moment. You know what I mean? Like something like that to like put him over
right.
the edge. So that's why I think he's more back half than front half.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's why he is where he is. But to me, he makes the list easily.
Indeed. All right. It's now time to rock and roll because we are going to mix things up a little bit and talk about our first female competitor, Aaron. And it's kind of a hot button issue as of late. Spearheaded by our friend Stacy, of course. She did a podcast on her recently, and that is Trish Stratus. And you wanted to talk about Trish. You asked me to bring her up, so I'm going to defer to you to start, and I want to get your thoughts on Trish.
So the reason I wanted to talk about Trish is, by the way, if you haven't listened to Stacy's podcast, please go check it out because mm-hmm. it's quite good. And she's done some written pieces as well that are very well written and fun. And she makes a good case for a lot of the women who are on the roster. That being said, my issue with Trish is I have trouble with any female on the roster before the horsewomen. With the exception of China, but that's a whole other thing. And the reason being is I feel that and I think it might have been Stacy who talked about this on a podcast where she said it or someone else said it that they were looking at the divas as a completely different product within the WWE, within the structure. And I think that kind of does almost a disservice to the list for me. Not for them, obviously, but for me. And so I have trouble including her on a list like this. Mm-hmm. So like we can go through her things kind of quickly too. But like my issue with her is that watching her, as much as she did improve, it still was like watching a different product.
Right.
Like, it doesn't – it looked worse, and there was a scale. And as soon as a scale gets in, I have trouble including them. Mm-hmm. Whereas – and I actually think if the horsewomen hadn't come in – we're using horsewomen as the shorthand for the
yes.
four now.
Yeah, sure.
But like, if they hadn't come in, I think it'd be okay to use the scale. It'd be all right to be like, okay, well, she might be the best diva ever, so where do we put her on the list kind of thing. But because they came in and were so much better than what came before, to me it almost disqualifies everyone who came before. What do you think about that?
I mean, I certainly see your point 100%. The scale is tough. But, I mean, isn't that just a factor? Or, I mean, does it affect the matches so much for you that you can't even scratch it up to – like you just mentioned for Kane, right? Can you blame them for the booking? Like, can you blame Trish as she was booked in 3-minute bra and panties matches for most of her first couple? You know, like, is that really on her, or does she? And I think this is a lot of what Stacey's point is. You know, within the construct of what she's given, she does great, right? So it's, you know, within that build where you get 5 minutes to go out there and tell your story, like, she's actually pretty damn good at what she does, like.
I think I could get on that if I agreed that she was great.
Okay.
And that being said, like, I mean, like, when I watch her matches back, and I'm actually at a period where I'm watching them back now, at least mm-hmm. a lot of them, and I like, it's hard for me to include someone on the list who's, for me, probably top match tops out at 3 stars.
Right.
Like, and then it's like, it's always like, wow, and it wow, that was really good for the women. Mm-hmm. Which I don't want to be in that position.
Right.
And my problem is that when I look at her and I watch the matches, she does too many things in the match that like expose the business. But right. all the women did that during the period. It's not just her.
Right.
So like while I wouldn't hold the bra and panties against her and stuff like that, I would hold that like for a very long time her punches looked like crap.
Mm-hmm.
Like for a very long time her kicks, well, I would say always, except for the chick kick, looked terrible. So those are more my issues. I thought she was actually a pretty good character for a while,
yeah.
But there was also a period where she was really not a good character. So that kind of washes itself out. And like, again, it's all about what came after for me. Like, yeah. I just can't, like, can I in good conscience put her above a guy like a guy who's probably not going to make my list, like Dolph Ziggler,
uh-huh.
right? Like, I don't think he's going to make my list, right? But like, he's got like, maybe more 3-star matches than anyone in company history by this point.
Right, but you could argue Trish has better moments.
I don't even know. No. Like, she does have some, I would agree. But like, there's a lot of people that have really good moments that are not going to make the list, right? Like, I mean, I think Kane is a better worker than her and has better moments than her. Like, yeah. We just talked about Kane, right? Kane is barely going to make my list.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying she's going to make my list. I think I'm easier to do it going with the scale concept because I think even some of the guys are going to fall into that. Like if a guy wrestled mainly hardcore stuff, like a, you know, Tommy Dreamer or something, you know, like, a,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like there's going to be people or someone that was only in the tags, you know, like isn't that ostensibly the same? Like you only get to see him in the tag construct, not as much like a Jim Neidhart. I don't know. You know, like
yeah.
there are people who, like there are other qualifiers besides just the women's matches. They got 5 minutes.
I would agree. I would absolutely agree with that. Like, but I just think that the women's matches for so long were such an eyesore to what the business was.
Yeah.
Like they were a bathroom.
Again,
break.
No, I just don't know if that's on her. Yeah. I feel like when anytime she was given time and a story, like the men, she delivered. Like the feud with Victoria was quite good, right? And they had the hardcore match of Survivor Series 02, which I remember being pretty good. And then all the stuff with Lita, you know, like the original Lita stuff where they had the big match on Raw and the, you know, the cage match and like all that stuff, first woman to main event Raw, like a lot of those kind of moments. Like whenever she's given something substantial, the Jericho, when she turns on Jericho, like that's all really well done. And she's great during that run. The shit with Viscera, like during that whole heel dominant champion of 04, like I think she's great that whole time. Like I think her promo skills developed. I thought she was a great heel character. You know, her early days, yeah, shaky on the mic, shaky in the ring, but, you know, they booked her into a spot that she probably wasn't ready for. You know what I mean? Like, she wasn't really ready to be the face, the top dog in the division in late 01. Like, she just wasn't there yet.
And I absolutely don't hold that against her. I don't hold much against her. Like, I think she did really well. Like, it's funny because, like, I find, like, I don't want this to come across as, like, I hate Trish Stratus, because I don't. Like, I think she
sounds
I think,
like you despise like, her, you jerk.
Oh, I fucking loathe her because she's Canadian. but it's more that, again, it just becomes a comparison game, right? And and for me, it's like, how do you put her? And I have women high, like, what I consider quite high up on my list, but it's because they ceased to be female performers and they just started being performers.
Mm. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't think you're wrong. And also, I should throw in the Mickie James feud, by the way, which is really well done. And again, a big part of that was that they were finally given time in the story and a meat behind it, not just throwing them out there in a, you know, 8-minute match under No Mercy or something.
And it's kind of a shame that that one's been edited to shit, like anywhere you yes. can get it now.
Yeah. It was great at the time, though. you know, she did get hurt a couple times when she was really hot, which kind of hurts her, I think. Like, she was a little bit injury prone. Like, she fucks her back up and misses a large stretch of time when she was a hot heel in 05. Same thing around that, you know, was what I was just thinking of. There's another time she got hurt. I don't remember. There was one other time where she got hurt and was kind of out for a bit. But yeah, no, even her return in late 05 is really good when she comes back as a face with the heel turn due to the back injury. You know, some good moments, obviously. Like, you know, the bark like a dog one is, I wouldn't say good, but it's memorable for probably 100% the wrong reason, but it is memorable. All the Lita stuff, the coming out in the lingerie at the wedding, like, that's a big moment. The Mickey stuff, turning on Jericho. So she's got the moments, you know. I think.
Yeah.
Would you say of all the women, does she come the closest pre-Horsewoman?
Maybe.
Like, I think she outpaces Lita.
Like, in terms of moments, yes. Yeah. Like, I as a total package, I'm not sure. Like, I think maybe someone like Beth Phoenix might do it a bit more for me.
How about like a Molly?
Maybe I just not enough for me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
For Molly. Like, I mean, like, for me, like, the only pre Horsewoman woman that's going to make my list probably is Chyna. But again, that's a really weird comparison, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's because she's so different and so unique and
Moolah's not making your list.
Oh, fuck her. No, I maybe Beth Phoenix. Like, I do think Trish is very good, and I will agree with you. She had many great moments, and I thought she became a great character. Mm-hmm. Just like for me, it's just not enough for my list.
Yeah.
Like, but you know what? I'd also throw Lita in the mix. Like, in terms of, like, if you're gonna rank.
Yeah, Lita's tough. I feel like Trish is just a better worker than her. Like, I was never into Lita as a worker. Like, I thought she was sloppy. Zero. Like, Trish fucking, like, her matches at least, like, she'd work something and it would, like, you know, she'd sell something. It was, like, her matches had structure to them, like, cohesion. Whereas Lita just felt like just going out there and throwing, you know, whatever, this pure spot monkey, just going out there and diving around like a nut. But, you know, there's something to it, right? Like, that got over, and the crowd
kind
loved
of a
her.
Pure, like, kind of a purer connection to the audience.
But my problem, I feel like maybe Lita was at her most over when she really wasn't wrestling. Like, with the Hardys. And I guess she had a couple matches here and there, like six-person tags and stuff. And both Trish and Lita had great matches with Stephanie. Like, that's one of Trish's best matches, I think. No Way at 01 with Stephanie. And Lita has a good one on Raw where she beats her for the title. Like, that's a great moment.
Yes.
And other than that, they're pretty intertwined. So I think Lita gets dragged down a bit by all the baby stuff. You know, like, Trish doesn't have that weighing on her. So to me, I've always thought Trish was a pace ahead of Lita.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, I'm just trying to think of who would be closer than her to me, and I'm thinking Beth Phoenix, maybe Michelle McCool, but I'd have to really dive into her more. Like,
Layla?
I find that Michelle McCool, I found, brought a certain athleticism to it that Layla didn't have. I think those two would probably be
AJ?
The closest for me. Lee, I don't know, maybe
Styles.
Best diva. Do you see that hair?
Silky smooth.
Ooh.
Yeah, AJ Lee is, she probably didn't have enough.
I tend to think of her as a bit, I never really dug the character, but it was probably during, it was a period I was watching quite religiously, but it just didn't click for me for whatever reason.
I didn't like the GM stuff.
No.
I feel like I'm kind of an outlier on that, but That was like my least favorite version of her. I liked her with I thought she was really good in the ring. I liked her as the ace of the division, like toward the end, with the stuff with Paige. I thought that was pretty good, but I just didn't like the GM. I didn't mind the love triangle stuff either. I just the GM no, part that. Of it I didn't like. Yeah.
Yeah, that was strange. They were really just trying to capitalize on that character being hot.
Yeah. How about Stephanie?
No.
Okay.
Stephanie. Absolutely not. Oh, God. What a terrible thought.
All right. Throwing it out there.
But, like, what about with someone like Paige? Like, Paige is a weird one, right? Like,
yeah.
Almost
very
bridging
weird.
That gap.
Very weird. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, that's just how I feel about Trish. I would get why someone put her on the list, but I think for me the sliding scale counterpoint is an important one to make.
Yeah, see, for me I'm the opposite where I'm fine ranking on a scale, but that still might not be enough to get her on the list.
Right.
But I do think of the pre horsewomen era, she's probably the best choice. I agree with you on Beth. I think Beth is up there too. I'd say the two of them are probably the best of the crop.
What about Medusa?
Yeah, I was going to say her before, but she just didn't have enough. Yeah. I mean, I literally just watched her whole era, and there's just months where she's not even on. You know, it's like, what does she really have? Like, I guess, I mean, if you subscribe to the Who Cares, her output is like, her matches are all pretty good. I don't know, the Bull ones are pretty good, and even the Britt the Faye one's okay. She doesn't have enough. And she like was a shit promo.
Yeah. For me, her match with Bull at, I think it's SummerSlam 94, is better than any match I've seen Trish have.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. But,
it's one
How
match,
much of that's
right?
Bull, you know? Mm. I mean, Bull's like an all-time great, so.
Yeah.
It's tough to say. All right, two more to go. Why don't we take do we take breaks on the show? I don't remember.
We never have before, but we've never gone this
Let's
long.
Let's just go. Well, we'll keep going. All right, so two more to go here, because these might be lengthy ones, as we always build towards our main event. And this next guy is an interesting case. Some people have him as high as I've heard. They're top, like, 15. I haven't heard anyone that would leave him off the list. But, he's someone to me that has more crap than some people may want to acknowledge, and that's Goldust.
Yep.
Dustin Rhodes. Blip in 91, right? This real blip. It doesn't really do much. A couple matches.
They're beating your son!
That's what I mean. And then comes in 96 or 95 as Goldust. And character through the roof immediately. Matches, not so much. And, you know, Will can sit there and talk about, you know, how much him and Undertaker feud was great, but those matches are not good. I am sorry. Like,
terrible.
I'm not drinking from the Goldust Kool-Aid fountain. Those matches are awful. And they have three of them. And their best output is like two stars. So, you know, I forget which one is the best of the three.
Generous man.
Now, in between that, like, the Ahmed stuff is good. Like, I like the King of the Ring match. I like his mind games with Undertaker. And then he pretty quickly goes to face, and he's got the Triple H feud. And that's another one that's like, they fight like 10 times. And what do they cap out at? 2.5?
Maybe 3.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And if you watch Raw from 97, they literally fight like every fucking week, it seems like.
Yeah. And it's always the same slow match.
Yes.
He also fights Miro in that era too, which I really hate.
Okay. I don't mind the SummerSlam one, but again, this is kind of there.
Yeah, like I just find like when I look at it, I find it inexcusable that the matches are that quality when those two guys are in it.
So let me ask you something, because this may play into our next guy, but how much do you count like guys working within the character constraints? Like that early Goldust, like I almost dismissed his work that first year because he wasn't supposed to be going out there and having great. Like I just don't think that was the point of the character. He was supposed to be slow, methodical, kind of creepy, like mind games. Like he's not out there. He's just not out there, supposed to be out there just like crushing it, putting on 5-star clinics. Now, once he turns face in 97. He doesn't have anything great, and that I will ding him for. But that first year, I almost don't even count when it comes to in-ring.
I think for me, I do count it, but I don't like bing him as though to the same level I would as if he was supposed to be having good matches and wasn't. You get what I'm saying? Like it counts as a negative, just not a terrible negative.
Right.
In the end, the matches are still
crap,
bad to unwatchable.
And that one in your house, the Good Friends, Better Enemies with Warriors. Like, I mean, that's like one of the most boring fucking worst things I've ever seen.
That might be the worst thing they've ever done on television.
That was. I mean, now it is offset by the fantastic fucking promo on Raw with the "I'm not into that shit" words swearing on Raw.
That's right.
Yeah. And then you know, the Lawler calling him a queer on Raw, like all that stuff that turns him face, basically. Really good match.
Hate crime turned him face.
It was a hate crime. The match with Vader at Rumble 98 is probably one of the best of his initial run. I thought it was really good. He's in the Canadian Stampede 10-man, but, I mean...
He's not really doing anything in
correct.
It.
Correct. The Pillman feud was fun. Matches, kind of blah. The Valvinus feud... fun, I guess, matches, kind of blah. Like, you know, that seems to sum up that initial run for him. It's just like the feuds are really good. I think he's got a lot of jump up moments, you know, the mouth to mouth with Ahmed, the heart on the chest, like all the stuff with Razor initially, and then Marlena debuting, the backlot brawl with Piper, you know, the turn on Terry, the, you know, the outer formerly known as Goldust, like all that stuff, Baby New Year. Like, you know, he's got like a lot of those big moments, you know, woven through. Being in the ring with China, like all kind of stuff like that. Oh, God, his match with Crush at Kingdom 97 is fucking terrible, too.
Yes, it's terrible.
I feel like his first run is marred in ring, but has a lot of good moments and a lot of great character work. Like, I mean, we're not really even discussing his character, but I think, I mean, is he basically like a 9 or 10 for you, like just character wise?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And flexibility too, long, like all that stuff. Like to me, nuance, he cashes in, like he's good.
Yeah,
to go.
He's great.
Yeah. All right. Anything you want to talk about on his first run before we kind of get to his peppered in comebacks?
No, I think you hit all the major points that I would have hit. Like, it's exactly that. Like, the matches are terrible and the character's great.
Right. Okay. So, he comes back in 02. I think another great jump-up moment. He comes back at the Rumble and gets a big pop. I don't mind the match with RVD. I kind of like it. WrestleMania 18, I think he plays a big part in the fun hardcore stuff throughout the night. Like, he's pretty good at that. And then, maybe his best work... of like his initial runs with the book dust stuff. Like this is to me where he starts to kind of show off what he can do in the ring.
Yeah.
Elite tag work with Booker, great character work, all the movie reviews and all that stuff. Was trying to join the NWO and that all builds to the weak link. I'm the weak link. And then they win the tag. Like that's a great moment. So I think his run with Booker is like some of his best stuff.
Yeah. Again, though, like I would agree character wise, but again, I found the matches hard to watch.
Yeah.
Even the tag matches with Booker.
And I mean, those are with Christian and Jericho and stuff like that too, and Storm, like guys that can work.
Exactly.
And then you get the stuttering stuff, which is kind of stupid, but whatever, kind of a blip. So then he gets fired, comes back, does the shit with Vader, which is some of my favorite. It's so bad. It's good moments.
In 05?
Yeah. Oh, God. I love that shit. It's so bad. Him where they're beating up fucking Batista and, I mean, Vader when he falls off the apron. Like, this is so fucking shitty. But I love it. It's so stupid. So then, when does he come back again? Is it not until... I think he's got one more short run, right? Before he comes back, like, in the most recent run?
I think so. I just don't know when it is right now. Yeah.
Was he like a C-show guy for a while? Or is that this latest run I'm thinking of?
Was that around 2010?
Yeah, I feel like he definitely came back for like during a Dusty Rhodes time frame. Like he was around. I don't know. I'll look it up. Let's see.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Like
he comes back.
Isn't that
kind
of damning of it?
Yeah, it is. So he comes back in 08-09. Then he goes to NXT.
Right.
Yeah, he does all the shit with Oksana, right? Is he with Oksana or whatever? 08, he returned at Cyber Sunday. Yeah, Santino, Clones. I mean, it's just, nothing inspiring here. But from what I remember, I can't admit to being a whiz, but I do know, I think it was during this run where he was lauded for a lot of his C-show work, like in 9-10.
Right.
Like, guys like Masters and those guys were kind of, you know, clicking. I remember him kind of being well-regarded. So then he leaves again in 12, and then he comes back in 13, and this is
And
really,
he's been there since. 13,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah,
right?
And this is really some of his best stuff, was the him and Cody versus the Shield with the Dusty shit. Like, that's like his probably his all-time best stuff in the WWF when it comes to in-ring.
Yeah, and I would say it's the first time I've actively liked him as a performer.
Right.
Like, in terms of a total package. I liked the character before. I liked Dustin Rhodes, but, like, I found everything clicked on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then I'd say his most recent heel stuff has been very good, like turning on R-Truth and everything. Golden Truth was kind of whatever. I think he's a guy that it depends how much time you probably want to put into those lost years where he was doing a lot of the C-show stuff and see what kind of work he was putting out. Will race. I mean, he's a lock for the list, right?
Yes. Like, I think you're right, but I think when you look at him, like, I like to look at him versus, like, opportunity he was given and what he did with that opportunity.
Yeah.
And there's a long period where he had a lot of time on pay-per-views and just didn't bring it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's – I don't want to blame all him, but for whatever reason, the matches just didn't deliver.
True. I mean, a big part of that was with Triple H in 97.
Yeah.
And Undertaker in 96. I mean, Undertaker didn't really get going as a worker until, like, right at that time. Like, Mankind breaks him out of it, but even that's, like, garbage matches, you know? Like, he doesn't really – it's not until, like, 97 where Taker starts having, like, really good – kind of non-gimmick matches. And so, you know, it was kind of a shit pairing to, like, stick them together for three fucking long pay-per-view matches when they just weren't going to mesh.
Right.
Yeah.
I will say I think he's legitimately – he probably has a case for being one of the greatest tag workers they've had.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's a case for maybe one of the greatest tag workers of all time when you factor everything. WWF-centric, yes, he is definitely – excellent. When you look at the tag stuff he's done, I mean, the shit with Cody was top notch.
Yeah, yeah. His stuff with Cody was amazing.
Yeah. All right. So promo great. Obviously, character great. Flexibility great. Could do heel, face, tag, singles, all well. Intangibles, great connection with the crowd. His entrance, everything about the character sticks out. He's a memorable character. The look, the music, work rate, you know, and obviously he's great. I don't know, you know, it depends how much you want to factor in what you know from other outside of WWE, which you're not supposed to. But I think we've seen enough of his great working in WWE to know he's a great worker.
Yeah, I just think it all came in the last, like, 4 or 5 years.
Right. Well, I mean, no, there's flashes of it. You know what I mean? Like, he's had good matches other than that. It's not like he had all nothing until then.
Well, what are his best matches before then? Like, one-on-one matches that are good to great.
Ramon, Rumble 96, Piper, Backlot Brawl, the first half. I like the Ahmed match. I mean, I'm talking, these are all probably around 3, right? Vader at Rumble 98 maybe ticks up above 3. Canadian Stampede, 10 stars.
Right. One for each guy in the match.
And then, but even like we're saying, like, he didn't always get. I feel like he was always paired with guys that he was kind of set to not. I don't want to say set up to fail, but, like, he's given 2 matches with a broken down Pillman who could barely walk. You know what I mean? Like these are the big opportunities. Like, I know he had a ton of pay per view matches, but look at who they were. Like, the Warrior fiasco. Like, that. I mean, it's not really on him, right? I mean, that's. You know, a Bam Bam Bigelow, sorry, Saturday Night 5, where Bigelow's completely just fucking mailing in, doesn't give a shit. Yeah, I feel like go ahead.
No, sorry, I was just saying, the Warrior's interesting because, like, it's the one time they decided not to go with the squash, like, in that era. And, like, I mean, even Warrior's match I found with Lawler was...
Yeah, but that's a match. This isn't even a match. Yeah. They just talk in the ring. And then he beats up Mantar, whoever the fuck that was.
And smokes his cigar.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't even count that as a match, you know. And then he's given Undertaker at a time period where Undertaker's not really there. So I feel like he didn't ever really get a... It's not like they gave him Bret Hart in 20 minutes on pay-per-view, you know? Like, no. And I haven't seen the unreleased match yet with him and... Sean, have you anywhere? The one from...
No, not yet.
Okay, the latter. So I'm curious if that's any good. But, like, I feel like he was never given, like, you know, all right, here's 15 minutes. I guess Mero is probably the closest, right? That's probably one that should have been better. Fucking Crush. You know, like, 1997 Crush. Like, that's a match he got on pay-per-view. You know what he's good in? You know, it's a couple he's good in? Him and Mero against the Headbangers at No Way Out 98, I like. And then the tag at 14 is really good. I thought that's a really good match.
Yes, but again, I don't know how much of that is him.
He's a big part of that.
Sable, how over Sable is and what she does in it, like.
But I think he helped get her over with that feud.
Yeah, okay, I'd give you that. But, like, it's like, again, like, I'm not like I don't want to shit on Goldust because I like Goldust and I think he's on the list. But like it's like even look how hard we're searching to find like his gem matches.
Right.
And even then they top out at like 3 stars.
But I think my point, yeah, I mean, my point is he wasn't given the opportunity. So I guess that's more toward his work rate, right? I mean, I'm saying this more from the work rate perspective, that it's hard to judge him on a lot of that stuff because he just wasn't given. He may have had a lot of opportunities, but did he really? Because of who he was paired with.
Right. But then in the end, though, like if he gets no opportunities, like that's still in some ways – I'm not dinging him for being in there with crappy guys.
Right.
But you also can't laud him for having – like I don't see how you can put him high on a list because he wasn't in there with great guys. You get what I mean? Like because of potential or you see little flashes. Like in the end, if you want to be on the top end of the list, you have to have a catalog of great matches.
No, you're right. Again, mine was more in the context of his work rate. Like that to me, like I don't discredit him as a work, because you said we didn't find out until the last couple of years, but I don't know if he was given a chance until then. So that was the delineation I was trying to make.
No, when I said find out, I didn't mean – I don't even know if I said find out, but I just found he didn't really show
– Yeah.
like a great match until that, and it might very well be because of what you're saying.
Right.
Like I'm not disagreeing with that. I just wish it would have come earlier. Like I wish he would have been in there with guys that were more suited to his style, but again, like I don't actually know what that is in that context. Like who would he have worked with during that period that could have brought it out of him like that?
Well, Sean, Brett, more with Ramon. I mean, he gets Ramon at the tail. Like, Ramon wanted no part of that feud, too. I mean, that's part of that whole thing, too, right? I mean, he wanted nothing to do with that. And he fucking doesn't show up at WrestleMania because of it. I mean, there are guys around. Kid, you know, like Haku. I mean, there are fucking guys there that he could have been given a match with and had a chance to show something off. I mean, 3 matches with the 1996 Undertaker with the time they were given was just set up to fail. You know, it just was. Austin, like, you could have a match with Austin. They fought a couple of times that were pretty good. You know, Foley. You know, like, there's stuff. There's guys that he could have fought that he didn't really get to.
I wonder why they booked him that way.
Yeah. Well, he was a character guy, right? I mean, they gave him, like, mind games kind of. Like, the Taker feud makes sense from a story perspective. It's just that it wasn't, and I don't know if they gave a shit, like, if the match was good, you know, like they didn't care at that point.
right
Brett was the only one who cared. And I think they actually have I'd have to rewatch it. I don't want to say out of turn, but I feel like they had a decent match at Raw, like a pretty good match, Brett and Goldust, right when Brett turned heel in 97. I feel like they fought.
Oh, that I believe. That I would believe.
Yeah.
Like, he just seems so out of place in that whole 10-man tag. Like, do you remember he was the one who brought them all together?
Yes. Stone! Like, Stone, come here!
Yeah. Like, what is this guy? What is his link to everyone?
Right.
That he's doing this.
He's an American hero. I mean, I think it was. I think he had a match with Brett. I think that triggered some of it. And then the Pillman stuff, again, all feud, but broken now Pillman.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right. So where's he on your list?
He's look, right now, like I had him closing in on 30, but now the more I think about it, like I don't think I can put him ahead of X-Pac.
Right.
Like that's
big drop then for you.
That's a what?
That's a big drop then on your list.
Yeah, it's about 20 places. Yeah. Like it's just the more I think about it, like. Like I think I allow myself to be swayed by some of the arguments that I heard throughout a bunch of other podcasts.
Right.
And I think it might be Will who has him like talking about how he's top 10.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, wow, like, okay, I gotta better go back and look at some of this
stuff. I mean, he's like I said, he's the one that's saying the Undertaker match is a great, the Bigelow match is really right. I mean, they're just not. Like, just say you're a honk for Goldust. You know what I mean? Like just say it. Like whatever. He just likes him so much that, and whatever, it's his pride. I mean,
it's his
connection. And if he likes that style of match, then who are we to say it's? I mean,
no.
I don't like boring matches that plod along. But if he's into that, then Goldust is great at it.
Because it's funny because like his passion for Goldust made me go back and watch Goldust more. Right. But then that in turn made me rank him lower.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad because I wanted to rank him high.
Right.
But yeah, I think he'll probably end up in the mid 50s, 50, 60. What about you?
Like mind wise, like again, as we all know, I have not yet really started my list, but still in the compilation period. But I would like going into this, I would have had him like 30s, maybe low 40s. So we'll see as I go through. And he's a guy that may drop as others rise or whatever. You know, this conversation will definitely ring in my mind. But you know what? If him finishing 50-60s is like still a damn good career for a guy that was a world champion, never had a really was in a position to challenge for a world title. A guy that was given a lot of kind of goofy feuds. Like when you look at what he was given and what his character was, like when that character debuted, if you said he may be a top 50 guy of all time in the company, you probably would have just laughed. Like when you first saw him with the wig and all that shit. So good on him. Like even if he's top 50, I think that's still pretty fucking amazing. A guy that was never put in a position to have a prime WrestleMania match or moment. Like what's he given a Mania? Like he gets a Piper in the back lot. Then he gets Triple H. Then he gets that mixed tag, which is all about putting over Sable. Then the next year he's in that awful fucking stupid four-way, right, for the IC title. Then he comes back. He's not even, 18 isn't the hardcore kerfluffle. And then has he even been in a fucking Mania match since then? Like, besides, like, Battle Royals and stuff?
Battle Royals? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, so, I mean, this guy, he's never given, like, a prime spot, like, to a big-time feud. Even SummerSlams, I feel like he never really did. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a part of it, you know?
Like when I'm talking about these guys, when I'm bringing up their negatives or kind of these are all guys I really like.
Yeah.
Like it's all in the spirit of trying to rank them versus other guys.
Right.
Like, and I find sometimes that kind of gets lost. Like I remember once talking about The Undertaker online and some being like, why are you being so hard on him? It's like, well, it's kind of the point. We're trying to
right.
We're trying to see where he ranks versus other guys.
Yeah.
But look, I mean, of 100 guys on my list, there's nobody that I think is shit. Like it's legitimately a top 100, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yep, you're right.
You're right.
You're always right. I love you.
No, that's not. I'm often wrong.
No.
Very often.
Not in my heart. I wasn't even saying that sarcastically. All right, main event time. It is, again, we talked about how it was kind of an attitude-y theme and how also all the people really tied together. And this guy, I think, has links to everyone we've talked about outside of Trish Stratus. And that is the Dead Man. That is The Undertaker. All right, so he's a guy, admittedly, he's obviously going to be on most lists, right? And if it's like a WWE-produced list, he's like top five, right? I mean, in canon. In reality, not quite, but you do have him fairly high, right?
Well, right now I have him at 15.
Yeah.
Which to me, if anybody's screaming right now, my top 20 are I think they're all the greatest of all time.
Right.
Yeah.
So you think he's one of the greatest of all time?
Yes. I think he's got some, we'll get to it. He's got some reasons. He falls under a category of guys that I don't think he has a case for being number one. I have a group of guys who, when I was putting the list together, there's five or six of them that I was seeing people consider for number one. And I would look at it and be like, no, he's disqualified for this reason. And he's in that little group. So he's very high, but I don't think he can go much higher. We'll see where he kind of lands. I don't see him going higher than 14, and I don't really see him going lower.
What keeps him there? Is it all the crap?
It's the crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just the crap. And,
So what gets him to 15, though?
What gets him to 15?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you look at his nuance, he is the greatest, probably the greatest gimmick character ever,
mm-hmm.
Number one. His longevity is crazy. He's good at he's great at heel. He's great at face. He was legitimately scary.
Mm-hmm.
When he started, which was very different in that cartoon WWF.
Yep.
I remember his first year locking people in coffins.
Oh, yeah. And people just looked like – I mean, his debut alone, people were like shit in their pants.
Yeah.
Awesome presence.
He's a big ham hawk.
Yeah.
So.
Just awesome presence. Intangibles through the roof. Just the presence, the music, the entrances. All the shit that comes with being The Undertaker is just top notch. That is pro wrestling. You're not going to top a lot of that. So, that kind of stuff can be done in a very bad way. But it never really with him. Yes, he has hokey moments, but overall, the presentation, the music, the lighting, all that shit is just top-notch, man.
When you watch SummerSlam 97, when he fights Bret Hart, which I think is actually a tremendously underrated match,
mm-hmm.
But when he enters, the lights come up on Bret Hart, and I'm pretty sure Bret Hart breaks character and reacts to the entrance.
Yeah, he shivers.
Yeah, and I think that kind of says it all.
Yeah, no, he had, I mean, just a great, yeah, I mean, just overall presence, the intangibles, the connection to the crowd. I mean, he pretty much organically got turned face in 91 or 92. You know, like that's that pretty much they had to turn him.
They were cheering him by WrestleMania 7.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it didn't take long. He was so unique and great. Now, here's a guy that, you know, we talked about Goldust, and I think the theory kind of holds true for him, too. Not given a lot to work with in his initial years. And I do think this is a part where he was forced to kind of work within the gimmick. Slow mannerisms, sit up slow, punch, kick slow. You know, like everything is slow, but even then you can see his crazy athleticism come out in those early years. Like the off the, you know, walking the rope and the flying. Like he's showing off some of it in spurts, but he has to work this very sluggish pace. And then he's given feuds with, you know, he gets the stuff with Jake and Hogan. But after that, it's like, you know, Kamala, Giant Gonzalez, Kama, Bundy, Yokozuna, you know, on and on, IRS.
The monster of the week.
Right. I mean, just all these slugs. And guys in their own right that, you know, I don't want to say slugs. You know, there's some that are slugs, but some aren't. But just not fit for a match with Undertaker in character.
Not fit for that level of up the card.
Right. Yes.
Like to produce a quality match at that main event or semi-main event level.
Like, I'm not holding Undertaker's match with King Kong Bundy against The Undertaker. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
No.
Right. Okay.
No, but like it's again, it becomes the thing where it's like, well, I don't really hold it against him, but in the end, he was in the match. The match did happen, so it's part of his career.
Correct.
Yeah.
So 96 is when he starts to get like pushed again, right? Like they double down and they say, okay, here's a guy that should be further up. So he's got the match with Bret at Rumble 96, kind of disappointing.
I hate that match.
Yeah, it's long, and not good.
Yeah, I think that match actually hurts Bret Hart's case.
Yeah, I don't think it helps.
Yeah.
The match with Diesel, 12, very good.
Very good, yeah.
And that kind of starts the run, right? Then Mankind shows up, has a really good series. And Mankind, he's still kind of getting the Goldust shit out of his system. And then into 97 is when he kind of turns on the Jets. Has a fun match of Vader at the Rumble. The Sid match, not so much. But he's starting to become a top guy and presented like a top guy. And he gets to carry the company through the summer, and he's battling Paul Bearer coming at him, threatening Kane and feuding with Mankind again.
It's really interesting writing in there.
Yeah.
Because he's being the fighting champion, but there's that simmering Paul Bearer story. Like it's interestingly layered.
Yeah. No, it was well done. And then, you mentioned the match with Bret at SummerSlam, which is really good. They have a great match at One Night Only as well. The two matches with Sean at Ground Zero, Bad Blood, both excellent. Kane shows up. You know, their match at 14, very good, considering all things considered. Even the casket match at the Rumble is very good. You know, and then he lags. He lags for about a year, you know, 2 years here. 98, throughout most of 98, he's not great. He's, you know, having the follow-up matches with Kane. And, you know, the match starts in 98. You know, I know it's kind of taken a hit lately, but I think it's still very good, at least, right? Him and Austin.
SummerSlam, I like it. Like, I don't get the hate. I think it's fine.
Right. So, and then you get the sell, obviously. The stuff with X-Pac and, you know, Kane in 99 is hit or miss. All the corporate ministry shit, the boss man sell, just terrible.
Yeah.
But he's really worn down, right? A lot of injuries hold him down. Comes back in 2000, great moment when he comes back. Probably the worst run of his career.
Yeah.
Overall, the badass, just shit match after shit match, you know,
killing
destroys
Kurt Angle.
Yes,
in
kills
the process.
Him. Yes. And then when he doesn't kill him, as far as he's still, you know, donkey shit with fucking Eric Angle and all that stuff.
You know, for me, it's more than when he. Yeah, I agree, that's terrible.
Yeah.
But it's when he keeps picking him up.
Well, that's fully loaded. Yeah, that's awful. That's awful.
Well, he does it at SummerSlam, at Survivor Series too.
Oh, does he do it there too? That's right.
Yeah, twice.
Oh, those stupid snake pants.
Oh, that's terrible.
I think he's pretty shit throughout the invasion outside of the 17 match.
I see. I don't even really like that match.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I think it's okay, but
he's kind of, you know, just dead weight. All the, you know, destroying DDP pretty much. But then he turns it around. The end 01 cuts his hair, gets to the hardcore stuff, has the fun match with RVD. You know, the good match stuff with Flair.
I like old man Undertaker.
Yes,
the short hair.
It's an angry old man Undertaker destroying Maven at the Rumble. You know, like.
Get off my lawn, Undertaker.
You know, like, that's good. The ladder match with Jeff Hardy. You know, like, all that stuff is really good. And then, of course, he's got the, you know, fucking mess of a match with Hogan. And then Triple H at King of the Ring, which is terrible. But then he kind of turns it back up again. He's got the six-man, or the three-way, I should say. you know, then he turns face again. He's kind of just there, doing okay. 19, whatever. You know, like
you skipped over the Brock. You got Brock.
Oh right, yeah, yeah. The Hell in a Cell is great. Yep.
Yeah.
03, kind of up and down. 04, kind of whatever. You know, like from there, it's kind of whatever, whatever until 06. Well, it depends. What do you think of the Orton matches?
I think the WrestleMania 21 match is legitimately great.
Yeah.
And then the rest are okay.
Yeah.
I love Bob Orton still wearing that cast.
Yes.
Commitment to the max.
So, I mean, that's pretty much the whole 05 is Orton. They fight like a bunch of times. but early 06 is when he, again, turns it up, right? So he's got the great match with Angle at No Way Out. Pretty solid match with Mark Henry at WrestleMania. And then he's up and down and stuff with Kali. What else does he do in 06? Anything?
Not much more of note. I think but when he turns the corner of 07, things start to get interesting for him again.
Right. And I think 07 on is like his, now we're talking like kind of renaissance. I don't want to call him GOAT era, but like this is where he's like churning out the classic matches all of a sudden at this point of his career, which I think should be factored in, right? Is like,
yeah.
I think the fact that he's so been around so long, 20 years in or whatever it was at that point, 15 years in. And all of a sudden, he's like a work rate fucking specialist, like out of nowhere, right. You know, at this age, at that point. So, yeah, 07, the Batista feud is great. I mean, the WrestleMania match is awesome.
It's like he got mad at WrestleMania and like
23
and turned his whole career around from there.
Pretty much. Yeah. You get the glimpse with Angle. But yes. And then he just. Yeah, you're right. And from there, it's just on. Right. I mean, it's just the match with Edge at 24 is really damn good. Great. And the whole feud with Edge, I liked.
The only problem with that is they just beat it. They wrestled like 8 times.
Yeah, it's a lot.
On pay-per-view. It's a lot. But they're all good. It's just by 8, you're done.
And then obviously you got the back-to-back Shawn matches. You got the Kane feud in there that sucks. The Punk feud is kind of shitty.
The match is good, though.
The 09 one?
Oh, no, you're right. That one sucks.
Squashes them pretty much. 10 is a lot of the Kane shit. But you got the two Shawn matches. And then, you know, mileage varies however you want to. I don't feel like breaking down the Triple H matches, but however you feel about them, they exist. The Punk match at 29 is great. The feud is kind of whatever. But the match itself is great. And now, you know, kind of into full part-time taker here, right? I mean, he comes in spurts on other shows. 30, the match is terrible. The moment's awesome. And then he bounces back the next year, though, with not a great match of Mania, but the feud with Brock in late 15 was kind of like shockingly really good. And then the match with Shane. No.
Terrible.
But then I like this match with Reigns. I got to rewatch it, but I remember liking it at the time.
I didn't like it at all.
No.
It's the style of match that I hate where like one guy is just like pounding on the other guy, but just telling him to stay down. Like, I just don't understand that in the context of what wrestling is.
Right.
Like, just pin it. Just pin him.
Yeah. Like, no, I hear
pin him and beat him.
Like, he can't, though. He won't stay down. All right. What are his top – if you had to, like, list his top, top moments, what are they?
Moments?
Yes.
Jeez.
His biggest moments.
Jesus Christ.
Retiring Shawn.
Yeah.
The debut.
No, I would say WrestleMania 25 is bigger than retiring Shawn.
Like is a moment or a match?
Both, because having that match at that point of his career, I would say his face turn when he grabs the chair from Jake.
Yep.
And the whole casket when Jake's beating him with the chair and his hand stuck in the casket.
Yep. His debut.
Beating Hogan.
Yep. Locking Warrior in the casket.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane's debut.
Yeah.
Hell in a Cell with Mick.
What's your – for me, the Michaels-Taker match is still my favorite Hell in a Cell match. Where does it rank for you?
Yeah. Even though I'm one of the few dicks who deduct the quarter star for the finish.
Oh, for the ending.
But, it's probably the best. Taker-Brock is probably the closest. And Batista-Triple H.
Oh. Yeah, that one's good too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'd have to look at the full list, though.
Yeah, I would also have in terms of his moments. I would have the Batista match.
Yeah,
because
for
no
sure.
One was expecting that at all.
No,
and then
not
he just
at
turned
all.
It around. Or even I would say no one really talks about the 2 year Rumble run Michaels and him have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 09 and 10. Yeah.
Well, they have the mini match at the end of 07.
That's what I meant, 07, 08, yeah.
Yeah, and then 08, they start the match.
Yep, and both times are great.
Yeah. Like, it's weird. Like, we could go on and on with his greatest moments. What would be your top ones?
I mean, the cell has to be one of them.
Oh, Mick. Tossing him? Yeah.
Making the cell. I mean, it has to be. Bad Blood 97, probably. That's up there. His debut. Locking Warrior in the Casket. I'd say retiring Sean, or at least the Sean series. Like, that is kind of one big moment. His return at 20.
Oh, yeah. His return in 2000.
Yes, that's a great
moment. As a completely different character.
Yeah, when he comes on the motorcycle. I love that. Yeah, I mean, that's probably most of them. His match is obviously the Sean matches. All of them. All four.
All of
five.
Them.
I mean, that's obviously his best opponent. The Batista match. The Edge match always impresses the shit out of me because those aren't two guys you'd expect to go out and have a pure match and be able to pull out over four stars. You know what I mean? Like, and I think they do it. Like, just go out there with no gimmicks, and they didn't. They had no gimmicks in that match at 24. They just went out there and wrestled. And then the Angle match hit. No way out.
That Angle match is tremendous.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle's last, like, great WWF match, right?
And it's just like Taker just comes out of nowhere with it, you know? Like, he had never really had a non-garbage. I guess maybe Brett is probably the closest, but even that had all the Shawn shit around it.
Well, I mean, Orton the year before was pretty good.
Not to that. Yeah, but you didn't think he had that in him.
No,
I mean, Angle, that's like a 4.5-star match. I mean, that's, Orton is what, maybe 4?
Yeah, I have it at 4, but I haven't watched 06 yet. I wonder, is that the match of the year for 06? It might be.
I have to look back at my notes from me and Scott. It was in the conversation for sure.
Yeah. Because I think it's probably better than anything at WrestleMania.
No, TLC. I think Cena, Edge.
See, I'm not too high on that one, but I'd have to rewatch it.
I think we might have had that. That might have been our number one. You also have a One Night Stand in there, which has the Dreamer and then the Cena RVD.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a lot of... L6 has some pretty strong stuff mixed into all the garbage. All right. All right, so do you want to talk about his bad?
that's the knock, right? Is that, like, for every match of the year he has the worst match of the year the same year.
Right. Especially in 94.
Yeah, 90. That Undertaker match is abysmal.
The two Yoko match. Although, the first Yoko match is all right. Until the knock.
It is what it is. Like, it's just...
But the Survivor Series one is dull.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I would even say, there's, what was it, 05? Was it 05? There's one where he has a last man standing with Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
It's 05 or 09, I forget, and it's just abysmal. But it's the same year he has – I think it might be 09 because I think it's the same year he has the match with Michaels.
He has a lot of random Big Show feuds. I think everyone does, but he is like 99. And then early 03, they have the one with the boxes with Paul Heyman. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then then again that random 109 with the knockout punch where Big Show knocks him out and beats him. Doesn't he beat him once?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
they just don't click.
No.
So like it's that I guess like quote unquote hurts him for me.
And the vegetative state.
Terrible. And the Dudleys, the Dudley nonsense.
Oh god, yeah, that's awful.
We murdered Paul Bearer. but when I look at his greatest matches, right? Like it, I mean, when I'm looking at it, just
the JBL offhand, matches kind of suck too.
Oh, they're terrible. Almost all of his great matches are with someone who's higher up my list than him.
Yeah,
and whereas that's not always true. Like Michaels is like, for instance, Michaels is higher than him, and his great matches are with people that are all behind him. So it's not to shit on him, but it. To me, that kind of bears out. Like, that's why he can't get higher. Like, I have some guys ahead of him. I'm going to name you some guys, and you tell me if you would put him ahead of them.
Okay.
Like, the guy right ahead of him on my list at 14 is Bret Hart. Would you put him ahead of Bret?
No.
No. Would you put him ahead of Mick Foley?
No.
Kurt Angle?
Probably not, recognizing I'm an Angle homer.
Right. The next one might be a bit controversial. Would you put him ahead of CM Punk?
Ooh. Probably not.
Yeah, and
that's
about
a close
Bob
one.
Yeah, it's close. How about Bob Backlund?
Fuck. I want to. I'm not as well versed yet on the older Backlund. You know right. what I mean? I love newer Backlund, like 90s
oh, go
Backlund.
Back. Go back because like he's his early stuff. Like I got into that through this project, and like I've been he's the one guy from like I watched a ton of house shows from say like 77 to like 84, mm-hmm. and he's the one guy who like I just connected with immediately and flew up my list. Whereas other guys I was making excuses for, like okay, I can see he's good in this context. Right. Whereas Backlund, it was just like wow, this match is great.
Right, and he doesn't have much bad shit. No. Yeah, I'd probably Backlund ahead just from what I know.
What about Brock?
Yes.
You'd have him ahead of Brock or Brock ahead of him?
Brock ahead of Taker.
Yeah. So see, already we've named 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys, and I haven't even named any heavy hitters.
Right.
Well, I guess you can call Brett a heavy hitter, I guess, but I don't particularly agree with that. So that's what I'm thinking. Like, for my ranking, he feels about right there. Like, I can see that some people are very attached to the character, but like I couldn't in good conscience put him ahead. Like I couldn't put him at number one. There's no way.
Nah, it's just too much crap. I mean, he just has too many years of nothing. I mean, even if you want to say he wrestled in the construct of the character and
sure.
blah, 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 like he still has, I mean, he's got like 4 years of no match, like, you know, like nothing good.
Yeah.
Like what's his best match pre Foley?
Diesel?
All right, pre 96.
Oh God,
91 through 95.
Hogan?
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he's got nothing. So I mean, it's
Jake, but he kills.
Comma,
Jake.
Maybe comma. You know what I mean? Like that's.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So I mean, at the end of the day, he's still got like 4 years of garbage matches. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Like he's getting a lot of love, and I mean he deserves the love because he's a great character. But like, for me objectively, I don't see it. But that's me, right?
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't put him ahead of Michaels, right?
No, but the thing is, when you said 15, yeah. I actually thought maybe that was high.
Oh, really?
Not low. Like,
well, here let's go the other way.
All right. Yeah.
Would you put him ahead of Chris? See, I have him ahead of Chris Jericho.
No, I think I'd have Jericho higher.
See, for me, Jericho doesn't have the high-end matches.
Yeah, I know.
Like, what about here, right behind Jericho? And
but see,
right
Jericho's ahead. Almost had almost – not as you could argue maybe his longevity's close, right? And he never really had the downtime of Undertaker.
Yeah, I agree. He doesn't have the lows, but, like, what's Jericho's top match?
Yeah, we talked about this. Go listen to episode 2.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm sure we did Jericho. And behind Jericho, I have Mysterio. Like, would you put Mysterio ahead of Undertaker?
Probably not.
That's it. So, like, and above him, behind him, I have Guerrero.
Yeah, see, I may have Eddie over him.
Yeah? I just, with Eddie, I don't have the...
And Eddie has him down, too.
And you don't have that top match, right?
Him like, and Brock.
Yeah, but it's not like... Look, with Undertaker,
I know.
I think I have five matches that I would put five stars.
Yeah.
Which Guerrero I have zero. Behind
so you have
Guerrero,
three Shawns. What are his five stars? Three Shawns, Kurt. No, not Kurt.
I don't even have Kurt. That would be six. I got three Shawns. I've got the Foley Hell in the Cell.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got Triple H at 28.
Okay.
Which I'm sure will get me some heat, but I just love
Well,
that.
I mean, you got three legits and then the Foley and the Triple H are depending on the person.
Yeah, but regardless, like even if you don't think Foley is five stars, it's right.
It's a 10-star moment. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the most important matches in company history.
Right.
And then you could easily throw Angle in there. I'm sure you could put Batista in there from 23.
Yeah.
So, but again, like Guerrero doesn't have any, you know? Mysterio, for me, doesn't have any one-on-one matches that touch that.
Yeah.
I have Piper behind him. I could see someone putting Piper ahead of him.
Yeah, I'm okay with Piper there. He's a guy that has like no good. He's got like one good match. You know?
Yeah,
yeah.
Andre, I got Andre there, but I wouldn't put Andre ahead of him.
No, Taker's like an approved version of Andre. Like,
yeah.
He's Andre that could then have great matches later on. Like if Andre was all of a sudden busting out 5-star matches in '91 or something, like that's what Undertaker is.
Yeah, and then when I get into like, and now we're at 20, and I'm into like Daniel Bryan. Like I don't think I could put Daniel Bryan ahead of the Undertaker. Like,
yeah.
Like and then
you have
go
Punk
a bit
that
high.
Much higher than Brian?
Yeah, because I think punk has for me, CM Punk is one of the greatest missed opportunity guys of all time. Like, there was a period where he was as hot as anyone ever. And I think Brian went through that period too, but they capitalized on it a bit too late. But I also think that Punk just has a better catalog of high profile matches than Brian.
Okay.
Like, and I think it's his, I think he's really helped by his series with Cena.
Yeah.
And he's got a match with the
Do you think Brian's match with Cena is better than any Punk match with Cena though?
No, I don't think, I think Punk's, this is a weird thing to say, but I think if you were to look at it, like, without any sort of atmosphere, I think the Daniel Bryan match with Cena at 13 is probably better. But when you factor in the Money in the Bank 2011, the storyline, the crowd, to me, the Punk one kind of kills it.
Yeah.
But Punk also, for me, kills him on promos, kills him for character. Like,
okay.
Like, but that's for me. Like, I would probably admit I'm probably pretty high on Punk.
No, that's probably a discussion for another episode anyway. So.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, like, I mean, like, I mean, is there anybody I didn't mention that you would put ahead of The Undertaker?
No, I think you covered almost everyone. I guess I just want to, is a guy when I first think of it, like, I think, oh, 15 seems high because of all the crap. And but, I mean, he's had enough great matches to where we can say as a worker he's great. I mean, we just can't at this point. And I think him becoming great later actually helps his case for his crap earlier when you can say he really was maybe constrained within the gimmick, right?
Sure.
I think the period that hurts him more is that 2001. Like, I think that because he was, you know, he had shown that he could have good matches, and he seemingly was just out of shape and plotting and burying like that. To me, that's like his worst stretch of his career.
He actively hurt the show.
Yes.
Like, he made matches worse. He made segments worse. And I found he hurt the progression of guys. And I don't know if he did that deliberately. That's not my accusation. But, like, people were stalled because they were stuck in feuds with him.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd say that's worse than his 90, whatever. Because at least that...
Sure.
His character and his stories were pretty good, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, the matches count against him to a point, but no, like, I'm more, like, it's more after he's shown he can do great matches that is the issue. I would agree 100% with that. And I agree with you, too. When I first sat down to make a list, I wasn't even sure if he'd make my list.
Jeez.
Like, I was of the mind of, like, he's got so much shit that, like, how is he gonna, how is that? But then when I started factoring it in, like, I mean, when you really start to look at it, like, I would say 3/4 of my list, most guys don't have like a four star match, you know, like it's just kind of what, how it, I was completely amazed making a list, how condensed those great matches are to a few select guys. Found it very surprising.
It's certainly an interesting case. I am curious where he finished. I'm curious if anyone has him like top five or whatever. Like that's one of the biggest curiosities on this list to me is where he falls. Because I could see people, like you said initially, where you didn't think you'd even rank him. Like I could see people not ranking him. Like that would not surprise me at all.
Yeah. Well, I've seen, I don't know, I don't remember who, but I've seen comments. People are saying, well, Taker's my number one and that's it. And I remember thinking, well, that seems high for, right. Like you're really discounting a lot of other stuff.
I don't see how you can have Taker over Hogan. I just don't.
No.
I just don't see it. I mean, I just... Hogan doesn't have the crap that he has. You know what I mean?
Like, no.
And, no. You know, Hogan didn't have 5-star matches in his comeback, but he still, you know, for a guy that was older, more broken down, came out and was having good matches, like in 02 and shit, you know?
I think you could make an argument that his one with The Rock is 5.
Yeah, like, yeah, you could.
I mean, I don't know if I would do it, but it's not, it wouldn't be insane. I wouldn't argue too hard against that.
Right.
Like, I don't think you can put Undertaker ahead of John Cena.
No, because, yeah, Cena has down, but, I mean, it's just, yeah.
And right. John Cena is, like, of like, the top guys, he's probably my lowest-ranked one.
And he has the most good matches with varied opponents, which Taker doesn't have.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But he just kind of—he also falls on my list of guys who I don't think can be number one.
Right. Yes. That makes sense.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's only, like, I mean, like, for me, like, I could see the argument for, say, like, Savage, Hogan, Austin. I could probably see the argument for Bruno, for Rock, Michaels, maybe. Maybe Jericho, even. Like, I don't agree, but, like, I could see how someone would take that and run with it.
I think Taker and Michaels are interesting comps because they're guys that, if you have them one, you're pretty much, like, going by canon. Right, dirty canon. They say they're the best. They're the legends. Those are the guys that never left. So whatever, you know, whatever. They've been there the whole career. Like, that's, I mean, that's what you're pretty much going by, I think.
And you're ignoring too that, like, I find you're ignoring a central part of what makes a pro wrestler great, in that being the guy.
Right.
Like, it's like, for me, like, for me, the like Michaels for me finishes right now at 8.
Yeah. So is he just outside the guy?
Yeah. He just can't be in that top tier. He's the best that's not in.
Right. Is Backlund ahead of Sean?
No, I have him a bit below, because even I found he wasn't, even though he was the champion for that long period of time, it didn't feel the same as Bruno or Hogan. Like there was almost a disconnect there.
No, I think you're right. I mean, I think the era guys, right? The guys that could have an era named after them are those top seven. Yeah. Right? I mean, yeah, Bruno, Austin, Hogan, Rock, Cena.
Yeah.
Savage.
Yeah. I got Savage and I got Vince.
Yeah.
But Vince is, I'm for
Vince
sure.
Vince is another real interesting one.
Yeah, because, like, arguably their best heel ever, right?
Yeah, we didn't do Vince yet, right? Maybe we should do him next time.
No, but aren't you? Well, anyway, we'll talk about it.
All right, so I mean, I don't know if we have to dive much into, like, I mean, obviously became a great promo.
Sure.
10 out of 10 for character and work rate. I mean, he's proved himself. We talked about it. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's a top 20 lock. I think it just depends on some of those guys, like you mentioned, like a Jericho and a Foley. You know, like those are kind of the guys he's up against to see if he can raise up. Foley's an interesting one for him, I think, an interesting comp. I think Foley's going to be one of those guys where everyone's going to end up having him high, but you don't think about him as high, and all of a sudden the list is going to come out and he's going to have enough points to where he's like 7 or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to shock
me. I forgot about him. Like, I forgot about him, and then I started ranking him, and he just started going way up.
He had
a
great WWF career. I mean, a legitimately great career. He's through the roof on all these marks, you know? He's another guy we can cover maybe next time.
Yeah.
So, all right, so it's fun as always. If you want to be part of the project, if you haven't been yet, what are you waiting on? Facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation, Twitter, @PlaceNumber2BeNation. Just reach out to us on any social media. We'll add you. You can be part. We have a kind of a hidden Facebook group where the conversation goes on, or a Google Doc I can provide you that's out there that has the list of nominees and kind of the rules and all that kind of stuff. So you can look there, too, if you don't want to be part of the discussion. You can still submit a list. You don't have to be part of the conversation. If you go to PlaceToBeNation.com or if you go to that Google Doc, I have pretty much everything listed. From a content point of view, anything written or audio that's part of this project is all listed out there and linked. So you can just use that kind of as a go-to if you want to catch up on some of these series. We've had pod blasts, you know, quick 15-minute hitters. We've had stuff like this that have been more long form, some written pieces too. So be sure to join in, subscribe to all of our feeds on iTunes, Place for Nation Pop, Place for Nation Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Only. Lots of great podcasts out there for you each and every day. And shop with us, placefornation.com/Amazon. So, any final thoughts, Aaron?
Thanks for joining us, everyone. It was a lovely time together.
It did. It made me feel a lot better. And now I'm going to go remember how much I'm angry about the Yankee loss and go to bed mad. All right. So that's it. We'll be back, I'm sure, with another one soon. Until then, you've made the cut. How's that?
Very nice.